Welcome to the PHP Serverless News Podcast with your host, Bob Bloom. A production of South LaSalle. Welcome to the 25th episode of my PHP Serverless News. Lambda is swift to recognize the value of PHP. Today is Tuesday, November 18th, 2025. PHP Serverless News is my weekly PHP passion podcast about serverless news with a PHP point of view and with an eye on overall trends, published on Tuesdays. This is your podcast host, Bob Bloom from Toronto. I organize the Greater Toronto PHP and Laravel Toronto groups. Head to gtaphp.org for info on our groups. It is with deep gratitude that I express my thanks to my intrepid sponsors of my PHP serverless project, of which this podcast is a part of, Toga Erkan and Luke Galea. I also want to thank my family for their amazing ongoing support of my PHP serverless project. Links referenced in this episode are listed in my notes at phpserverlessnews.com episode 25. You can listen to this podcast on my website, RSS, Spotify, Apple, and YouTube. Now, on the one hand, this has absolutely nothing to do with PHP serverless. On November 6th, AWS announced that the Swift AWS Lambda runtime is moving to the AWS Labs GitHub organization. This means that the Swift runtimes are now maintained by AWS, I assume with community input. I want to read the first few paragraphs of Amazon's announcement. The Swift AWS Lambda runtime was originally created 7 years ago by the Swift community as part of a broader effort to make Swift a powerful choice for server-side development. Since then, the project has been incubating projects as part of the Swift Server Workgroup. We want to thank the 58 contributors who have helped shape this project through their code, feedback, and support. Their collective work established a solid foundation that has allowed Swift developers to confidently run their code on AWS Lambda. On the other hand, I want to reference this announcement in the context of Simon Hamp's latest podcast episode at simonhamp.transistor.fm/32, which he published on the same day as this announcement, The Secret Cabal That Wants to Kill PHP. And yes, that is the title of his podcast. A fantastic title. The Swift announcement, Simon's excellent podcast title, and Simon talking about Lambda in his podcast all together have inspired me to put my 2 cents worth about Lambda here in this episode and to talk about PHP more generally in my December The Bob Bloom Show podcast episode. To cut to the chase, my opinion is that the notion that AWS not making PHP a Lambda native language is indicative of PHP's decline is ridiculous. I believe that AWS not making PHP a Lambda native language is completely due to AWS's internal corporate machinations, and more so due to Lambda's own product development. The notion that AWS concluded that PHP was and is not worth the cost of maintaining first-party PHP runtimes for Lambda after they did some serious number crunching, well, I believe this notion to be ridiculous. The ultimate conclusion that if AWS has ascertained that PHP is on the decline, and that PHP then must be on the decline, well, my opinion is this is complete fantasy. When Lambda was announced at reInvent 2014, yes, 2014, Lambda was conceived as a compute service. The code would be run ephemerally as a service for the purpose of executing in conjunction with using Amazon services such as S3. I urge you to listen to the Serverless Chats podcast episode number 132, The Evolution of Serverless at AWS with Dr. Werner Vogels. You can hear, as the saying goes, straight from the horse's mouth, where the idea of Lambda came from and what very specific, very narrow use case they were initially fulfilling. It's unfortunate that the Serverless Chats podcast is not currently in production. However, and thank you, the website is still up and the URL still works. So you can still go to serverlesschats.com/132. Lambda supported exactly one single language at launch, Node.js. I think that when Lambda was launched, AWS was most concerned about Lambda not screwing up because Lambda was an unusual beast. It just ran code. No server setup. I don't even think that there was an ability to access the code externally. The code had to be triggered internally by another Amazon service. I'm not sure about it, but I wanted to ask ChatGPT, and it says that the API Gateway service was announced at reInvent 2015. The timing makes me think that the API Gateway was created, at least in part, to allow Lambda code to be triggered as URL endpoints. ChatGPT says that when Lambda was launched, Lambda could be triggered by only S3, DynamoDB, and Kinesis. Lambda was revolutionary for compute as a service and for charging on a per-unit basis for that compute as a service. And I think that in the following year, in 2015, Lambda was basically still in a foundational product development mode, but AWS needed live customer production usage and the customer feedback to guide AWS infrastructure requirements that they would need for Lambda and to guide their foundational feature development. So in 2015, they did add a new language as Lambda Native. It was Python, and that was it. So just about every single language on planet Earth did not run natively on Lambda in 2015 and 2016. I'm very sure that developers were poking around trying to figure out how to get their favorite language run on Lambda. And my guess is that AWS fielded plenty of questions about this. There was a way for PHP, which was described in December 2016, AWS Compute blog post titled Scripting Languages for Lambda, Running PHP, Ruby, and Go. Now, unfortunately, this post has been unpublished. However, on page 5 of an AWS archived 2017 AWS white paper, Serverless Architectures with AWS Lambda, it says, if you want, you can even execute code you've written in another programming language, as long as you stage and invoke that code from within one of the support languages in the AWS Lambda runtime environment. Which sounds pretty headache-inducing to me, but there was a way. And before I forget, I do want to mention the languages that Lambda does support. There's only 6 of them. Node.js, Python, Java, the .NET Core, and C#, Go, and Ruby. As a tangent, I was curious to see if ChatGPT could estimate each supported language's contribution to Lambda revenue. Maybe if we could estimate PHP's contribution to Lambda revenue, and I suggest referencing the latest Datadog serverless survey, and Bref, and Laravel Vapor. Well, I concluded what everybody knows. Node.js and Python are, together, the most popular Lambda languages, comprising together almost 2/3 of all total Lambda revenues. And ChatGPT's rough estimate, all non-supported languages represent 12% of total Lambda revenues. And it says in this very, very rough hypothetical exercise that PHP's share of Lambda is almost certainly far below its share of the overall web. Given that just 2 languages represent almost 2/3 of Lambda's revenue, I'm sure this is probably true for most languages. ChatGPT conjured up an estimate that PHP represents a quarter of all non-supported Lambda languages. A quarter, which puts PHP at 3% of total Lambda revenues. Hey, 3% is not bad, and a quarter of all non-supported Lambda languages, that's not bad at all. I look at it this way. The other 97% of revenue pays all of Lambda expenses, so PHP represents a really nice profit. Now, in my opinion, I think that people who decided which languages became Lambda native are coming to the conclusion that maintaining runtimes was a big pain in the you-know-where. I think that they discovered that maintaining runtimes was a bigger job than they thought, and languages have a very passionate community. For example, let me think, PHP. When a passionate language community thinks that AWS is falling down on the job, community's not shy in communicating their dissatisfaction in a very public manner. For example, let's say when a language releases a new version, they want that new Lambda runtime right away. I think that Lambda decided that they would make a handful of languages native and wash their hands of every other language. And for whatever reason, because I don't know, I haven't seen, and my curiosity has waned over the years, PHP is one of those languages. In deciding to wash their hands, it was incumbent upon Lambda, the Lambda team, to make it easier to use non-native languages. This is why I think the runtime API and Lambda layers were announced together at reInvent 2018. To make it easier to build and implement third-party language runtimes on Lambda. Now, no language has been made Lambda native since reInvent 2018. None. You could say the Swift announcement would be the first sort of its kind. If PHP was to be made a Lambda native language, that decision, in my opinion, would have been made in the 2016 to 2018 period. Probably closer to 2018. AWS demurred, not because PHP is a declining language, but for reasons that had everything to do with the Lambda team, nothing to do with PHP. But yes, I believe this completely. Not being made Lambda native by reInvent 2018 basically made PHP a permanent non-native language. Again, because of what I am convinced is a Lambda blanket policy of no more languages. And that's absolutely nothing to do with PHP. The way it looks to me is that AWS might have washed their hands of doing first-party PHP runtimes, but they were still interested in the money PHP could bring in. This is why I think they published material specifically for PHP developers after releasing the runtime API and layers. I have an alternate theory, I just don't think there's a lot of credence in it, that there were individual employees on the Lambda team. Maybe they weren't on the Lambda team, now that I think of it, and they decided on their own volition that they would publish one-off materials on first-party AWS platforms because of their passion for PHP. And because they could. It's like they had permissions and they could. I like the romanticism of the storyline, but this doesn't seem realistic because sign-offs are needed, right? Somebody has to sign off. So there. Simultaneous to explicitly not making PHP a Lambda native language, AWS published an article on their AWS Partner Network blog on December 14th, 2018, titled AWS Lambda Custom Runtime for PHP, a practical example. I repeat, custom runtime for PHP, a practical example. So it's for PHP specifically. Published about two weeks after reInvent 2018 concluded. Now, Rackspace authored this article. I have no idea how it came to be that Rackspace did this article, and I don't see anything that Rackspace did about PHP and Lambda after this article. But this article is still live on the AWS blog website. And this is a kick-ass how-to guide for cooking up your own PHP runtime for Lambda. This blog post is so detailed, so authoritative, that practically all future articles and cold source examples that I have come across, and I've been aggressive in seeking these things out over the years, they copy-paste from this article. Where are all the other AWS first-party guides for other non-native Lambda languages? You tell me. But wait, there's more. In June 2020, AWS published a seven-part compute blog series titled Introducing the New Serverless LAMP Stack. What an effort this was. In part one, the metaphysical problem of needing PHP runtimes, or the issue of running PHP on Lambda, is demoot, is addressed by referencing the runtime API and Lambda layers. However, in part four, they get serious. They directly reference with links both the Bref project, the Bref open source project, and Laravel Vapor's commercial service. Then they link to their first party, and now archived, GitHub repo of code examples for that blog series. This is a superb repo, and the bootstrap code is line by line from that 2018 blog post, a copy-paste from that blog post. In my opinion, this blog post series with its companion repos demonstrates that Lambda does value PHP revenue potential. And while I'm at it, I want to throw in the Stackery GitHub repo for its PHP runtimes for Lambda. Now, Stackery did not stick with this. It did not take long for the repo to get stale. Shows you it's quite an effort. Which gets me back to the Swift announcement. The announcement that Swift runtimes are now maintained by AWS by way of the AWS Labs GitHub organization. This is quite the change in policy, but I think PHP has enjoyed AWS support for many years already, sort of in a stealth mode, but by way of the Bref project, BREF.sh. Bref is an open source project providing our amazing PHP community with third-party PHP runtimes for Lambda, software to intermediate Lambda interactions with other Amazon services, and documentation. Bref has become AWS's proxy for using PHP with Lambda, a proxy for providing first-party runtimes. In the Amazon docs, there's an article. In the Amazon documentation site, there's an article. When to use Lambda's OS-only runtimes. This article says that you can run Lambda functions using off-the-shelf runtimes such as Bref. I would much prefer they refer to Bref as an open-source project with over 100 contributors. Hey, but I'll take it anyways. AWS refers specifically to Bref in their first-party docs, but using PHP with Lambda. This is another part of the docs. Very specifically, in PHP code examples, they use Bref's software that intermediates Lambda interactions with other Amazon services. This code snippet is specifically for use within your PHP Lambda. And I vaguely remember other examples of Bref appearing in first-party AWS materials, but I'm not looking for those because I think I made my point. PHP is a valued revenue contributor to Lambda. The Lambda team has been showing and continues to show PHP love. Maybe not in the way we were expecting, but I think our amazing PHP community has fared very, very well. And I'm going to have more to say about this general topic in my December 1st, 2025 episode of my Bob Bloom Show commentary podcast. Thank you for listening to my 25th episode of my PHP Serverless News. Lambda is swift to recognize the value of PHP. My next episode is scheduled for Tuesday, November 25th. You have been listening to a South LaSalle production. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of South LaSalle, Bob Bloom, nor of the organizations represented. Links and materials discussed on air are available in the show notes for this show. Information contained herein have been obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but are not guaranteed. Podcasts are released under copyright. Rights are reserved. Email correspondence to the attention of Bob Bloom at bob.bloom@lasallesoftware.ca.